Okay, last time at the end we began discussing the Machlokes Rashi and the Gaonim. Rashi and Rav Yosef Shel Rashi and Daf Nedvayin Amud Aleph and Shabbos as to whether a Dover Rafui or Eina Mehudak, something loose, is Chotes. So we ran out of time, let's start that discussion again. The Gemara there is really talking about a Hotzah issue, the first Mishnah in Bemeisha, but the Mishnah, the Gemara assumes that Hilchos Chatzitza may have relevance to determining whether there is a Hotzah problem on Shabbos. Meaning, if something would constitute a Chatzitza, then it could be it's usher to wear that on Shabbos, Brishas or Avim, because we're concerned that you may have a situation in which Tevila may be in order, and then you would remove that object in order to be able to be Togo. So Gemara there has a discussion about the status of Tichei Chalilta, which is some kind of necklace or band or chain, and as to whether that would pose a problem of Chatzitza or whether it would pose a problem as far as Hotzah in the context of the Mishnah there. The Gemara there has two Lashonos as to how to evaluate this Tichei Chalilta. Lashon number one is that anything which is arik, anything which is woven, does not pose a problem as far as the context of that. So good. Answer number two is lo kapti, that there's no kapeda. So that's where the machlokas Rashi and Rav Yosef Shel Rashi comes in. What does that mean, lo kapti? Does it mean lo kapti in Hilchos Chatzitza or lo kapti in general? Meaning, according to Rashi, kapeda there has nothing to do with Hilchos Chatzitza. We're talking about something which is loose. And because it's loose, there's no problem with chatzitza, even if in theory you were makbid. The only concern is that you are makbid in the sense that you don't want it to get dirty, and therefore you're going to take it off before you go to the mikveh, not because there's a halachic impediment or halachic imperative to do so, but only because you're worried about it getting dirty. So kapeda is not in Hilchos Chatzitza. It's not that it poses a problem with chatzitza. It's for some other side reason, but nevertheless, that would be significant in terms of the Hotzah context as well, that we're concerned you may come to remove it because you're going to go to the mikveh and you don't want to get dirty, and therefore, where it goes there, that you can't wear it, Brishas Arabim, on Shabbos. Rav Yosef Shel Rashi understood that no, there actually is a concern of chatzitza in and of itself, a real halachic chatzitza. And therefore, you see that even a davar she'ena mehudak, even something which is loose-fitting, would still constitute a problem of chatzitza in Hilchos Shabbos. According to the Rav Yosef Shel Rashi, that's the machlokes between the two lashonos and the Gemara. Do we say that we're concerned about Hotzah, are we concerned about chatzitza, even by a davar harafli? Is that a puzzle, Yomi? I'm sorry, yes, okay, good. Okay, now the Lashon of the Tor over here in the beginning of Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches regarding these chains is Bilvash Shelo Yu Muzhavin Velo Yu Mitunafim. They can't be dirty or prone to get dirty, and they can't be golden. So what does that mean, they can't be golden? So that's based on the Hemshach of the Gemara, the way the Rush understands. The Rush there in Shabbos, Perek Vav, Simen Beis, that something which is gold constitutes a chain, which is gold, constitutes a chatzitza. It's considered to be makbid, even though it is loose-fitting. That's how the Beis Yosef understands the Pesach in the Torah. The Prisha understands that Mushavin has nothing to do with Chatzitza per se, but the concern is that if something is gold, that means it's valuable. If it's valuable, we're concerned that you're going to be worried that it might come to get ruined if you're wearing a valuable object when you go to the mikvah, and therefore you may not be tovel properly. You may not go all under the water because you're concerned about getting this gold piece of jewelry ruined. So it's not a chatzitza problem per se, it's simply a psychology issue. Okay. So how do we paskin? The Rama writes over here after Seif Dalit, the im hayu mushavos chotzesin the makpedas aleim shalot the tanfei. That if these chains or these strands are gold, then they constitute a chatzitza, because we're concerned they might come to get dirty. Similarly, if they are dirty, then you're makbid that you shouldn't get dirty from them, and they constitute a chatzitza. Okay, that is the Lashon Rama here in Se'if Dalet.
Not really a chatzitza issue, it's an improper
tefillah
issue.
Well,
at least in this Rama.
Not necessarily. The Rama says, number one, they are chotzeitz because you're makbid that they shouldn't get dirty. That could mean they come to the chatzitza because it's considered makbid. Makbid means you want to remove it. Why you're removing it? Because it may get dirty. So it could be, the preacher would understand that it's not a chatzitza issue at all. You're just a you don't have to remove it. We're just worried, in principle, we're just worried that if you have it on, you may not do a proper tevila. That's what the preacher would understand, but alternatively, the more conventional understanding of Rama, the way most Achbarim understand it, is that he's going like the Shita of Rosh Hashirashi, that even a davar she'eno muhudak could constitute a chatzitza. Okay, that's what the Sidre Tara asks here on the Rama, the Sidre Tara in Sifkat and Yud Gimel. Part of this is quoted in the Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Dalet, the lengthy Piskei Tshuva. But the Sidre Tara in Sifkat and Yud Gimel understands that the Psak of the Rama here is based on the Rabosa Shel Rashi, that even a Davar She'ena Mehudak, a Davar Rafoi, constitutes a chatzitza. And then he's bothered by other halachas that we have later in the siman. If you look, for example, in Se'if Memvav, so he passed in Se'if Memvav based on a Gemara in Beitza and Daf Yuches, where the Gemara says, Isha Maremes Vitaveles Bibigadeha, so he passed in here Shulchan Aruch, Se'if Memvav, Nida Shetavla Bibigadeha Mutaris Abayla. That if a woman is toveles with her clothing on, that tevila is a valid tevila. Shach explains her sifkat and nunva. We're talking about the gadim refuya. You have loose-fitting clothing. So loose-fitting clothing, in principle, does not constitute a chatzitza. And therefore, if a woman were to be toveles in loose-fitting clothing where the water can get between the clothing and the skin, then that would not constitute a chatzitza, and that would be a valid tevila. So if we're machmir that we treat a davar she'eino mehudak as a chatzitza, then why is there a Rama masik here in Se'if Memvav? That's question number one. Then he asks from Sifkaf Gimel. Sifkaf Gimel is based on a Tosefta in Mikvos. Hashirim, Hanazamim, Atavos, Vakapalos. You know, various forms of rings and nose or earrings, we'll see. Im heim refuyim, einam chotzesim. If they are loose fitting, if the water can get underneath them, they do not constitute a chatzitza. But if they are tight-fitting, then they do constitute a chatzitza. And again, the Rama is not masik. So apparently, you pass through Shulchan Aruch in two places, and the Rama doesn't comment otherwise, that a davar, roughly, does not constitute a chatzitza. So those are the two questions that the Sidre Tara poses here in Sifkat and Yud Gimel on the Tzak of the Rama here in Se'if Dalet. That if we're going with the Rabosa Sharashi, and why is the Rama not consistent later in the Siman and other situations where it seems that we're not concerned about a chatzitza posed by a davar rafut? Okay? So the Sidur Tari answers as far as Sifkaf Gimel, as far as the rings, etc., that even the Ramah would acknowledge, and the Ramah's understanding of the Sheet of the Ravosa Sharashi, is that this is only a Chatzisa Dirabana. Meaning there's some kind, it's analogous, it's almost as if there's a Zera Dirabanan, that we're machmir on a davar she'ena muhudak atu muhudak. We're machmir on something which is loose-fitting atu something that is tight. Meaning, in principle, if this is something that is, in principle, even if it was machbid, we should have said that if it's ena muhudak, it's not kotes. Even if you're machbid, if it's loose-fitting, it doesn't constitute a chazitza. But the Rabbanan are concerned that you may come to confuse loose-fitting, tight-fitting, what's what, and therefore, midr Rabbanan, we tell you to treat even a davar rafui as a chatzitza. One second. However, says the Sidur Tara, that only applies where we're talking about the makbid at the moment of tevila. Meaning, if you have something which is loose-fitting, and you're makbid on it right now, when you go to the mikvah, then we would say, midr Rabbanan, treat that as a chatzitza. But if it's something that you're not makbid on now, you don't care to take it off, you're very happy to keep it on, and you're going to be makbid on it later on. So even though in general, we saw earlier the ravid, we assume like that when it comes to definition of makbid in general, we define makbid based not only on your feelings at the time of tefillah, but even your feelings later. So the classic case of the ravid, the tabas, is considered makbid, even though you don't care to take it off now when you're going to the mikvah, but you're going to take it off whenever you end up baking or kneading or cooking. That's as far as the general din of makbid and a regular chatzitza. But if it's a davar she'eino mehudak, a davar rafi, if it's something that's loose-fitting, which is a step removed anyway, that's only a further din derabbanan. So there, we're only machmir, we're only makbid in a situation where your kepeda is in the here and now, not later on. So the case of sifkaf gimel is the case of rings and the like, where you don't have any inyan of removing them now when you go to the mikvah, you may remove it later when you bake, knead, or cook. So in that situation, even the Ramah would agree that the sheet of Ravosa Sharashi never went that far.
Shabbos,
Xer,
and Xer. Your goal is that you don't go out because maybe you'll come to a
Mikvah
too after
the
Tefillah,
and then even that, is that the Xer, you can always get out of, that it's a package deal, it's either Ilah Halakai Maha, or it's a certain level of Chumr beneath a formal Xer. Xer, you can always get out of. Okay, so that's the Sidur Tara suggestion, that the Ramah and the Ravosa Sharashi never intended this as a chatzitza min haTorah, chatzitza halacha mishum Sinai. It's a lower level of dirabbanan, and that dirabbanan was only stated in the case where you're makbid on it right now. But if it's a davar she'eino mehudak, where you're not makbid now, you're only going to be makbid later, so then it doesn't pose a problem with chatzitza. Gary?
No.
Okay. Good. That's the Sidur Tara suggestion to get out of Sifkaf Gimel for the Ramah. The Aruch HaShulchan says this as well. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Tes Zayin. I would just point out, I'm not sure how that fits with the Ramah in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. If you look at the Tivegar here in Se'if Kaf Gimel, so the Tivegar on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch points out, look at it inside. Ayin Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Simon Kosamach Aleph Shekasav Haramah De'ein Anu Nikiyim Mahu Rafli. Now we don't know, we're not Nikiyim, it was considered Rafli or not, so you have to be Mahmir. Let me read the entire Ramah. There we say in Arachayim Simon Kosamach Aleph Se'if Gimel, so you have to remove rings from your hands, from your fingers, when you wash the Tefillah Tzidayim. Okay. The Ramah adds, Vafiluhu Rafoi, even if it is loose fitting. Vafilu Eino Makbid Allah Vishaf Nathila, even if you're not makbid to remove a ring when you wash your hands in general. Okay. Ho Ilu Makbid Allah Vishaf Shaosim Allah Shalayitanfen. Since you are makbid in other contexts, right? Just like we have in the Ravid over here. Saying is true for Nathila Sadayim, that a Tabas is considered makbid, even if you're not makbid at the time of Nathila Sadayim, you are going to be makbid to remove it when you need bake, cook. Okay. And then there's a parenthetical continuation of the Ramah. Vinagu tzas lahakel imu rafoi. Some of the minhag be makel in this if it is loose. But we have to be machmir because it's difficult to pin down where you draw the line between loose and tight, what's considered rougher. So what's the Ramah saying over here? When it comes to hilchos netilas yadayim, we have to be machmir on chatzitza even if it is a davar harafoi. And the definition of rafoi takes into account where you are makbid, even if the kapeda is not v'shas asiyas malacha. So that sounds like we're concerned about the chatzitza of a davar harafoi, even if it's not makbid now, but you are makbid later on. So at first glance, that doesn't seem to work with the Sidri Taras solution for the Ramah over here. You can think about it and let me know if you come up with a solution. Gary.
I thought I had a solution, but it's not right.
Yoni.
But I still
don't
remember.
It's
kind of like between
Tilas
Yadayim and Tavas. And Tilas Yadayim, your entire hand, depending by feel, your entire body is submerged. So as long as it's a little bit loose,
yeah.
Even if you're makbid at other. I thought that we could be, in this regard, we could be makel with this Tilas when it comes to Tilas because your entire body is submerged. So inevitably, it's a little bit loose, your entire. The entire area will eventually be covered in water as opposed to the seals and dying, where you're just pouring water over it.
The fact that Rabbi Kivayi is Messiah in the Ramah, it sounds like he's assuming that the definition should transfer. Rabbi Kivayi here is Messiah in that Ramah on our Sif. At least he's assuming that the definition should transfer, I think. But, okay. Fine. And then, as far as Sif Mem Vav, neither Shatavla did the Gedem Etar Zabayla. Anyway, I don't think it's as much of a problem because that is clearly formulated as a Bidi Eved. So it could be even if we are Mafmir for the Shita Sabosa Sharashi, that's on a Lechafila level. But Bidi Eved, it could be even the Ramah earlier would agree that the Tefillah was a valid Tefillah, you wouldn't have to be Tovel again. So that problem, I don't think, is as strong as the Sif Kaf Gimel issue. But the Sidri Taras says, you have to say for the Ramah over here that the begadim we're talking about are begadim geruim u'pechusim, the begadim that are not of any value, they're all worn out, and there'd be no kapeda to that anything should happen. You don't care if anything happens to the begadim when you are tovel. One second, Gary. The bottom line, the Sidri Taras assumes, since in his analysis, this whole din of the Rabosa Sharashi of the Ramah is only a din de Rabbanan, so where there's another tzad lahakel, you can be mitzarek the other tzad lahakel and be makel on these kind of chatzitzos that are refuyim. That's what the Piskei Tshuva assumes as well in Sifat and Dalet, that in the Ikar Adin, he thinks the Prisha is correct, that we're really not choshish for Rabosa Sharashi. Nevertheless, because many poskim were choshish, so it's appropriate to be machmir, but under extenuating circumstances, there are more grounds to be makel, because of Ikar Adin, we assume, like the analysis of the Prisha. That's the conclusion of the Piskei Tshuva here in Sif Kaf Dalet, which is consistent with the Sidri Tara that he quotes in part. So what's that kind of a situation where you could have a b'di'evid scenario of having to be mako? The Badi Yashochan has over here in Sif Katan Kofayim that let's say you have a ring that is loose-fitting, the water can get under the ring, but the knuckles, or the upper part of the finger is somehow bloated, so you're not able to remove the ring. So the Baal HaShulchan says it's better to try to remove it and try to get professional in the jewelry business to get it off. But if all fails and you're unable to do so, you could be toveles with this ring on if it is roughly, because that's considered a vidyevet situation, shasataka diyevet dummy, and you have the right to be makel on this issue. So says Rav Osner in the Shira Shevet Levi here on Sif Beis Ovos Dalet, that because in principle, if push comes to shove, Nikar Adin, we're not choshesh for a davish and a mehudik as a chatzitza. So in a real vidyevet situation, there could be grounds to be makel to permit tefillah. Gary first.
Yeah, just going back to the Sijay Tara, so he's bothered by it, but the Raman Jerusalem, that she'd be told that was in her clothing.
Right.
So he says that doesn't fit, like, his mouth. So I just thought, he is assuming that, like, Kepeda in tefillah is the same as Kepeda by Rechitza. Maybe that's what the Tash is what Karim's not assuming.
Okay.
Maybe Rechitza and tefillah, like, are different types of Kepeda.
Yeah.
You can say that, who's to say just because, like a woman knows that there's a different purpose of tefillah and mechitza. You're not going to the mikvah to wash yourself.
Okay.
So maybe she's not so makbid about any clothing that she has when she goes to the mikvah, because she knows that the purpose of going in the water.
Now, why is it different than being makbid on a ring?
Are you makbid on a ring?
Couple of things. So, lechatchila, we are machmir for the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, it's the Rama. It's a standard reading of the Rama.
Even the
Sidrei Tara and the Pisei Tshuva are inclined to be mako only do so in a shatatat situation. They agree that lechatchila we're machmir.
Meaning, because lechatchila we assume the Rama is the Rosh Hashanah.
Or lechatchila will assume that the.
Right. Then we assume the Kapisha, but lechatchila will be machmir on the other side.
Right, or in the Sidur Tara's analysis, that it's only a dinder abundance, so if it's only a dinder abundance, so shasatak, you can be made whole.
Okay, fine. And also, I guess, like, a general question, like, Rama not being masig, is that, like, clearly means, like, you'd have to be masig there in order to...
No, you could argue that if the Rama is masig earlier in the sermon, so then it's understood that the outside applies later, it's possible, it's not.
So I thought it was sort of like, then, besides even the Mechaber, I mean, then the Kashi Lama is a Rama masig, but he also had like a Gemara that said, like a Gemara in Beit Sada with going to the clothing, so that would be like a Kashi Lama.
No, so each of my Ramas as well as the Gadeha, may could be limited to Tara's context, it could be the Gemara, you could get out of others.
Okay, fine, sure, and last thing, does anyone say...
That could be relevant to being the Tara of the Gadim and not the woman, but yeah.
Does anyone say that the Chumra of roughly, of Tavina roughly, is even if you're not Makbid? The represent...
Yes.
The way represent was presenting now is only if you're Makbid.
Right, I think that's a standard representation, but if you look in the Mereshes Moshe, in his analysis of the Sugya, he quotes at least someone who says otherwise. I forget who.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Fine. So what is the basis of the sheet of Agosa Sharashi? So if you understand in the Sidrei Tara that it's only it's a Dinder Rabbanan, so we're concerned with some kind of a gzera or like a gzera of Eina Mehudak Atu Mehudak, Eina Rafi Atu Rafi, so that you don't really have to explain any more than that. That's the nature of the concern, midrabanan. However, the Sefer Mereshes Moshe quotes, or he thinks that Rashi is very very much mashma, not the way. The way Rashi in Shabbos, there in Daf Nun Zayin, quotes Rav Osher Sharashi, sounds like he's assuming it's a din d'oraisa. How so? So the Lashon of Rashi there, on Zayin and Aleph, Rabosai Mefarshin HaKepeda Linyan Chatzitza. So the Rabosai Rashi understood that the Kepeda of the Gemara there is talking about a Kepeda in Hilchos Chatzitza. Kedekai Malan Rubo Umakbid Alav Chotzeis. As per the din of Rubo HaMakbid is Chotzeis. So that din of Rubo HaMakbid is Chotzeis, that's the din deraisa slash Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The Rashi saying, Rabosov understood that this chatzitza in the context of the Gemara is a chatzitza on the level of the regular chatzitza of Rubo Makbid. That sounds like he's assuming, he's quoting that Shita as presenting it as part of the regular din deraisa, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, of chatzitza, that it would apply wherever chatzitza applies in subject to the details of Rove and Makbid, so those that would apply to a Davar Rafui as well. Yeah. What do you mean might not be accurate?
The reason Rashi misunderstood the name, because really it's talking about Maria.
Right.
And Rashi going, oh, Makbid is misrepresented or misunderstood.
The Beit Yosef's quotation of Rashi sounds like that also. Like,
in the second Israel, it says that it's a case of Mir, and that's
right.
It's only the Rabbanim. So he says, and Rashi quotes Rahumak, but either he thinks it's Rabbanim, both like the only thing related to the Rabbanim,
right.
Or the case itself. They're talking about a case of Mir, and Rashi, quoting it as Rove, is doing some crap.
Okay.
It's very grounds to say that Rashi's quote of his revenge isn't necessarily, you know, an accurate representation of his study. Maybe that's why he had all these questions.
I mean, why Rashi has questions on the Gonim. Right, so basically he does say that then, if you understand the Rebosan Rashi that way, the Rashi's question falls away, correct. Okay, but that is... fine. But the initial way the Beis Yosef presents it and the way Rashi appears the Fanenu is the way we said it. Okay, good. Fine. So there at least you have the possibility that maybe this din of Darvashan and Behudak would be relevant even on a the Raisa slash Halacha Mishnah Mitzvah level. So why should that be? Why should a Darvashan and Behudak, if the warder can get around the ring, or whatever the Davar HaChotzeis is, fully envelop the body, why should that still pose a chatzitza on a deraisa level? So the Mereshes Moshe quotes from the Tshuva Zecher Yitzchak, Yitzchak Lapanovich, Yer Simen Samach Aleph, that's the following suggestion. Kevan dekra ksiv rachat es b'saro b'mayim. So since the Torah's formulation of tevila is rechitza, rachat es b'saro b'mayim, kol davar she'ein darka lilbosh be'es rechitza, mishum shemakud alav lo mikri yirchatz, or v'rachatz. That anything that you don't usually wear when you wash yourself, that is already considered a chatzitza that would prevent a proper Torah kiyum of tevila. So the definition of tevila, because the Torah's formulation of rachatz is predicated on rachitza, so whatever you normally take off when you bathe yourself, when you're rochets, would constitute a chatzitza for tevila, independent of whether you actually could have proper bias mayim even with the davar hachotzeis. That's the Zecher Yitzchak suggestion as to how to understand on a Daraisa level how it could be that even if the water could get around the ring, it may still pose a chatzitza. That is a chisarad in Verachatz, if it's something that you normally remove for washing yourself. Yeah. Subject to our normal definition of the makbid. Whether, where you say baladai to is okaladim, definitely everyone, maybe even her. That's what we discussed in Sif Aleph. Okay. Now, since we're talking about Sif Kaf Gimel anyway, there's another comment of Ibn Vager there, which you might as well note now since we're there. Kivager in Sif Kaf Gimel quotes a Tashbeitz and Tshuva Sabach. So first he quotes a Tashbeitz. The Tshuva Tashbeitz is Chela Gimel Simen Pei. Tashbeitz writes that this halacha Shirim, Nizamim, Tabos, that are not chotzeitz if they are loose. The Tashbeitz distinguishes between nose rings and earrings. What's the distinction? So, Kivager doesn't quote the whole rationale here, but if you look in the Tashbeitz inside, the Tashbeitz says as follows. That when it comes to earrings, earrings is something that you're not makbid on at all, as opposed to nose rings. In the Lashon HaTashbeitz, you're not makbid on earrings at all, lo b'shas shena, v'lo b'shas rechitza. That you don't remove earrings when you go to sleep, and you don't remove earrings when you bathe. So if it's something that you are not makbid on at all, then it doesn't constitute a chatzitza, if you would never remove them under any circumstances. I see some puzzle looks. So the Baal Yeshiva Shulchan points out, apparently what the Tashbeitz is talking about, first of all, it sounds like he's talking about earrings for someone whose ears are pierced, rather than a clip-on earring, because a clip-on earring you would presumably remove with more frequency. And number two, we're talking about where you'd have one earring and you never remove it. So he wonders, nowadays, where the fashion is that women usually have more than one set of earrings, and then they would remove one and put on another, even if they always would have an earring in their ear. So maybe that would be a different din anyway, even though the earrings are the same size, but you're putting it on for fashion reasons, aside from the fact that I think it's much more common now to take off earrings in different contexts and not to keep them on, even b'shas shena. So the application of this tashbeitz in contemporary times would probably be much more limited. Yeah?
The scar is interesting, meaning you're just taking it off, not meaning not good, I generally said your makbid did not have it on you, or you're just changing a fat, I mean, just the scar, why someone would argue on the scar.
Right, so he's not sure, he raised that issue as a possibility. If you have a cheshbon, why are you taking it off and why are you putting something else on? So maybe that would constitute makbid.
Yes, I guess it'd be a starting question, but
yeah.
By an earring, isn't like ultimately what it's blocking inside, it's like the hole inside of your ear?
But it's also on the ear. So what does it get through?
Does it mean so part of the, just a regular surface of the ear is being blocked?
I think so. And then the Rav Kivager quotes the Tshuva Sabach. Tshuva Sabach, in our edition, it's in the Chadashos Simen Mem Aleph, where he thinks that maybe earrings are a problem. Why? That maybe, even if in general the Bach thinks that we're not gozer eina muhudak ata muhudak, even though in general we're makel on something that's loose-fitting that the water can get underneath, but maybe when it comes to an earring where there's significant tircha in removing it, so then we're concerned of eina muhudak ata muhudak. So That's the presentation of the Bach. And maybe earrings are worse because since they're so, you never remove them. It's a tircha to remove them. No, you never remove them. It's a tircha. So we're worried of Eina Mehudak Ad to Mehudak, Yoni and Yoni. Because she's mavid to take it off in normal course of life, so then that could constitute a chatzitza. Well, subject to whatever our standards are for rafui versus any rafui. What you're saying by an earring is that it's never chatzitza on any level. In his case.
Is he talking about a case with rafui or not rafui?
He's talking about a case even if it's not rafui.
He's saying earrings are never a problem.
Well, let's say this. It's considered eino makbid. So, yeah, lichachila, even a mishe eino makbid were makbid on. So, what he would say would be if it is eino rafui and remekel and eino rafui, so then since it's eino makbid, then even lichachila could go with it. That would be the relevance.
Right, by nose rim, since you're makbid, even if it's
rafui,
you're still
going to
take it off.
Then maybe we're more concerned there. Right. Okay. The Baal Yishlach we just quoted is on page Mem Zayin, if you want to take a look in the Beur. Okay. Let's move on to Sifav. Chaver paskins that seyar the nokama erva for married woman is chotzeitz, so that's far more machbid on than Ashkenazim. The Ramah has the following line: Osan sheyesh lehen kamin klios saaros devuko zubazu. The women that have these kind of braided hairs that are connected to each other. The nases balayla ayde shade, and they are created at night by shadim. The sakana lahasiram, and therefore, because of the involvement of shadim, it is dangerous to remove them. Lo chaitzi. By show of hands, those of you who are married, have any of your wives ever had a shade attack in the middle of the night and redo their hair?
Every day.
So I don't know exactly the. I don't know exactly the prominence of shade in medieval times and how frequent an occurrence this was. But the Ramah here is based on a Mordechai in Shavuos. The Mordechai in Shavuos, Siman Tavshin and Aleph, which is important for reasons beyond, even without Shadim, this could have relevance to Halacha. So the Mordechai writes as follows. I'm sorry, you don't have it in front of you, but if you, those are your computers, you want to look it up, it's the Mordechai Shavuos, Siman Tavshin and Aleph. So he writes as follows. Nashim sheyesh lehem valkstrash, I may have mispronounced that, bisa'aros, so they have this situation in their hair. Shenasa lehem kalilos machmas shade, visakanas nefashos. And so somehow their hair got braided because of a shade. So more likely that means that the shade braided it than that they braided it to ward off shadim, but I'm not 100% sure. V'sakadus nefashos agalcho. And it is dangerous. You could put your life on the line if you shave off the hair that was braided by the shadim. Delo chaitzi. So those braids do not constitute a chatzitza. Why? So the Ramah here has three distinct reasons. The Mordechai here has three distinct reasons. If you look in the Gilyan Marsha on the side of Shulchan Aruch, he summarizes them. he actually presents it as four reasons, so we'll have to see if it's really three or four. So if you don't have a Mordechai in front of you, but have a Shulchan Aruch, take a look at Shlomo Le'eger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mordechai says as follows. Number one, Dekeva de Maharki Tuva Zebazeh, since they are tightly connected to each other, Havi Kibalua Ubeis Astarim Delo Mitame. That's like Balua, and it's like Beis Astarim, which is not Mitame. The Kevin Delo Mitame Lo Chaitzi, and since it's not Mitame, it doesn't pose a chazisa. So Rav Ozer just points out here in the Shir Shevet Levi, Beis Astarim is Lav Dafka. Beis Astarim, as we'll see, you still require Raya Lebias Mayim. What it really means is Balua. So it's like if you have something in your mouth. If you have something in your mouth, or if you have something which is in an area that is covered in the body, so that doesn't pose a chatzitza problem. So you have this hair that is braided together. It's braided together very tightly, so we're not concerned about anything underneath because it's like it is balua and doesn't pose a problem of chatzitza. That's reason number one. Reason number two. The ode, the kaimalan, shlosha nimin kishuros, einon chotzitzos. Right? Our halacha here of Sa'aros, Gemara in the Sanu Zion, the beginning of our simen, that if you have three hairs that are tied to each other, they don't pose a chatzitza problem. Afilu lo chashav lu kibalu beis astarim, v'lo havik chasicha achas kem d'shlosha nimin ein chotzitzin, mishim d'lo mahaki v'ayli b'mayis. So that's the din of shlosha nimin, that is considered not muhudak, not tight, and the water can get underneath. Kol shekein saros tuba. Here there are a lot of hairs, so the water could definitely get underneath. So far there are two reasons. Number one, it's so tight that it's not a chatzitza because anything underneath is like balua. And number two, it's so loose that the water could definitely get underneath.
Only a shape to something like that.
So the Bavli Shulchan points out over here, and presumably, I think it's Meduik and Lashon Lemordechai, Bavli Shulchan points out that what he's saying is that any way you slice it, you're covered. If the mitzias is such that it's so tight that you can't go underneath, you're covered because that's balua. And if the mitzias is such that it's loose, like gimel nimin, so then you're covered because it's not muhudak. Meaning, you cover your bases. This kind of braid, either way, you're covered. Yoni. Is he saying what?
One that's tight is still done with three hairs. I mean, I thought we said that three hairs is never going, even if I have a tight, it's not going to be tight enough.
Right.
So you're saying if it was less than three hairs, then it's too tight.
Right. And if it's three hairs or more, then that's not a chassidus problem. That's the Gemara. That's the Pasuk of Shulchan Aruch. Okay. And then reason number three, which is of more concern to us now. The ode, shekevan delo mati legach of nei sakana. Since you're unable to shave off the hair, to cut it off, because of sakana, havi rabise, so it's like part of the body. Velo chaitzi kedarmina perka arel, right? We mentioned earlier the Gemara in Yevamos Ayin Vav, the case of the muberes shenis gaira, that the Geiris counts for the unborn child because it's considered part of the mother's body. See here too. Kevin the Lamasi Lagalcha Bnei Sakana Havi Rabise. Since you can't remove it because of Sakana, so it's considered to be part of the body and not Chotzeis. Okay. So that is the basis. The Ramah doesn't quote the reasons. But those are the two or three reasons that you have in the Mordechai, which is the basis of the Tzak of the Ramah, that these Kleos Sa'aros that are made by the Shadim don't pose a problem of Chatzitza. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Sif Kav Zayin and the Sidri Tyra, I think in Yotess, both quote a Lavush. The Lavush is quoted as giving a different reason. The presentation of Lavush is that it doesn't constitute a chatzitza because you can't remove it due to sakana. If you can't remove it due to sakana, that makes it eino makdim. You're essentially never going to remove it because of sakana, that makes it eino makdim. What's the problem with that? I'm sorry? Was it sakana? That if you remove it...
No, I'm saying, since it's a sakana, wouldn't you prefer, like, you don't want to remove it because it's a sakana, but you prefer not to have it at all.
Right. So does that consider chatzitza? So, what you see even hold on to that thought for a second. So, the Levush's presentation is that because it's a sakana, you're never going to remove it, and therefore, it's considered eino makdim. What issue would you raise with that, Yoni? Well, I'm not talking about what Mordechai said. I'm talking about it in Svara. What other problem would that be in Svara, Avi?
Let's
assume the Sakana will never pass.
Might say
she's
not there.
No, so we're assuming, this assumes, that that's considered Eino Makbid. If you're Lamaisa never going to remove it, even though the reason is Sakana, that's called Eino Makbid. But the problem is, what the Aruch HaShulchan raises and the Sidur Tara raises, is that our context here is talking about hair. And hair, we at least lechachila paskin like the Gaonim, that we define rove based on the hair, not based on the whole body. So if you have a head full of these braids, or even a rove of a head full of these braids, very good that you're Eino Makbid, it doesn't help. Even if it's Eino Makbid, a rove of Eino Makbid is chotzeitz. So if our area of concern is the hair is a single unit, and rove of the hair has these braids, so then even if you define it as Eino Makbid Machmas Sakana, that isn't enough. That's a problem that they raise with the Levush, which is presumably why the Mordechai doesn't just say Sakana. The Mordechai says has to come on to Haina Revisi, meaning in principle, the way the Siddur Tara explains, in principle, what you seem to see from the Mordechai is that Sakana may be a factor. Meaning Sakana could be enough to make something into Eino Makbid, but in our context that's not enough, that's why you have to come on to Hainu Revise. Yeah. Is there a hand? Yoni.
Isn't that enough to say, it's only Rabbanan and Makam Sakana Lo-Gazer?
Where's your starting point? Makam Sakana Lo-Gazer what? Right. Now you want to say that as long as you define it as Eino Makbid, even if the row, so because it's Sakana, Malkan Sakana Lo Gazru, okay, good, maybe. Okay, good. But if you don't say like the Levush, what the Mordechai seems to be saying is that Sakana may be a factor, but so it may help you if it's a situation of Niyot, but it won't help you in a situation of Rove, which is where you have to come on to Hainu Revise. Parenthetically, the Rav Avner has a discussion here. He quotes the Machlokes Achronim as to how he defines Sakana. What is a temporary Sakana, a long-term Sakana? So he quotes in the Imre Yosher that even a temporary Sakana may not pose a chatzitza problem. The Piskei Tshuva here in Sivkatan Hay raises a related issue for the Tshuva's Panim Me'iros. Now he talks about a case where you have these kind of braided or attached hair, but there's some sakana situation that causes you to treat it with some other substance. So does that other substance pose a chatzitza problem? When we say that b'makam sakana you could be makel to view a otherwise chatzitza as a davar she'eino makbid. Is that only true if that davar she'eino makbid is the hair itself, or even something external to the hair? That's the issue raised here in the Pesach Tshuva Sifkata and Hay. So take a look at that, and we will pick up next time with a little bit more discussion of Sakana. If you want to take a look, Minchas Yitzchak, in terms of application of Sakana, just an interesting tshuva, more for the story than the Tzak. Minchas Yitzchak, Helek Aleph, Siman Kaf Gimel. The story was a woman who, during the war, had a false cavity put into her mouth to hide a precious gem. So, is that considered part of Sakana? Because it would be Sakana to remove it at that point. Does that have relevance to defining it as a non-chatzitza? Then we'll move on. Vayitim Shachan Aruch, Sitzayin Lif Lif Shabayin. We talked about contact lenses. And so just keep going straight in Shachan Aruch.
What if you're...